Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for full details. Well, tonight we're going back to January 23rd, 2015. The Warriors hosting the Sacramento Kings, and a great night, a record-setting night for one Klay Thompson. Jason Ross, who of course was working on the Kings radio side of things for a number of years, joins us right now. And Jason, first of all, let's get the important stuff out of the way. I like to do it right at the top here, and that is, how are you and your family and your loved ones surviving this hopefully once-in-a-lifetime thing?
Yeah, let's hope, Dan, that it's once-in-a-lifetime. Probably like everybody else, just trying to make it through. I know it's cliche, but day by day, days change, days blend. You hope everybody is safe and healthy, and knock on wood, so far our family has been, but you just, it's all so surreal. I mean, everything about it, and I know that it hopefully gives everybody some good perspective on what they value, and then certainly luxuries of sports and great moments to have and reflect on, and hopefully we'll have many more of those ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny you mentioned that, because in the way you did, because I think we have all discovered that sports is the ultimate reality TV, and we miss that. We miss it right now.
Well, for sure, and you just don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis, as much as there's nights with heavy favorites or blowouts or boring games, or just there could be moments that will be remembered forever, and I think that's the beauty. That certainly, to me, is the beauty of sports.
Well, let's go back to January 23rd, 2015. Now, the Warriors came into that game with a record of 34-6, and they are just, you know, flying high, and it's, you know, best start in franchise history at this point. From an outsider's viewpoint, and you had seen a great Sacramento Kings team there in the early 2000s, what were the thoughts of the Kings on the Warriors at that point?
At that point, it was just awe and amazement and probably jealousy. I mean, all those things. I mean, when you run against the best teams in the league, you want what they have. I mean, you and the Warriors, not being very far, obviously, from Sacramento, and I still think it's the oddest thing, Tim, in all these years that these two teams have never been in the playoffs at the same time.
Absolutely.
And so you want what they had, and I'm sure there was a time when the Kings were one of the better teams that Warriors fans wanted that, but at this time it's watching guys, partly too, that the Kings could have drafted in Steph and in Klay, and certainly Draymond, who went later. They could have had them, didn't, and watching them flourish and thrive and put up record-setting nights, record-setting seasons, and championships, it was jealousy and envious and impression, you know, impressed by all of that, kind of all intertwined as a Kings fan.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it was kind of the other way in the early 2000s, because there's Chris Webber, who a lot of Warrior fans felt should have been a Warrior for life. And, you know, coming in, and there's Peja Stojakovic, a player that a lot of teams didn't see the potential of, but Jeff Petrie did. So, yeah, it was kind of flipping the other way at that point. But at halftime of this game, Jason, it's really, you know, it's anybody's game. Warriors are leading by 5. And, in fact, early in the third quarter, it's a tie game with, you know, just about 2 minutes gone by in the third. And, you know, nobody's thinking we're about to see an NBA record. But then, you know, Klay Thompson, he had hit a bucket, and the Warriors went up by 2, and he hit another 3. And then with about 5 minutes in, he hits another 3. So he's got, you know, 8 points in the first almost 6 minutes, but then he gets hot on this flurry, and with the right around the 6 minute mark, he scores 8 points in about 1 minute and 5 seconds. Do you remember that quarter? And in terms of at what point did you say, "Oh man, he is like on fire"?
I have so many memories of this game, and specifically this quarter. Because it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And what's so great about this, Tim, and you've done so many games, that you are there to call the game, describe it the best that you can, but you certainly would like the Warriors to win. Well, in this case, I'm, you know, there as being support for Gary Gerald, doing stats and chiming in, but he's calling the game. And at one point, I mean, you're right, because Klay was good in the quarter, but not 37 points good. It wasn't like he started blistering hot. He just was, he had missed, but he hadn't taken a high volume of shots yet. And then when he started to hit a few in a row, and I remember doing this in the post game, realizing, you know, we all knew he had the amazing quarter, but then we got the rundown at the actual time of game, and oh my gosh, he had, you know, maybe 18 at this point, but the last 3 minutes, he scored 19 points, or something, just some crazy numbers. So I think we all transitioned on the Kings broadcast team. I was sitting with former King Henry Turner, who does the post game with me, and me and the G-man on the call, and it went from, and Gary's tone changed, much like the crowd at Oracle, of, oh my gosh, we're watching something special. And we just kind of turned into fans of Clay Thompson, because at that point, of course, we want the Kings to win, but I also wanted to see something I've never seen, and ultimately that's what happened.
Yeah, 18 points in the last of 3 minutes and 3 seconds, and then he caught one, and just, he didn't even catch it cleanly. You know, he just kind of chucked it up there. Mm-hmm. I think it was right down where you guys were, down the left corner on the far side, and it was, I'm going, okay, that, you know, the funny thing is, if you listen back to our radio call, and Tom Tolbert was working with me that night, and for much of the third quarter, from about the 6 minute on, all you hear is Tom chuckling. It's just
Lee to Curry. Curry's got Thompson on his left. Dribbles in, stops. You better get it to him. Gets it to Clay. Clay in the corner shoots. It's good. He turned and just shot it. He was off balance. It had no business going in, but it did.
Have you ever?
That was just sick.
I've never. Never.
A 32-point third quarter for Clay Thompson.
He's just chuckling and laughing in the background because of how hot he was. And I had never seen, you know, anybody get that hot, ever. And you had a front row seat for Peja Stojakovic. I imagine there were some nights where he got pretty hot.
Yeah, there certainly were. I mean, but nothing compared to this. I even remember another moment at Oracle, the random shootout night of Steph Curry and Omri Caspi. Those two kind of went back and forth on a night that just didn't seem to make a lot of sense. It did for Steph, but not for Caspi. But on this night, I know the exact play you're talking about, because we even had post-game callers like, the Kings needed to double Clay or get the ball out of his hands. That was a scenario where I think two Kings players, I want to say it might have been like, I don't know, Ben McLemore and Ray McCallum or something. They were right on top of Clay. I don't even know that he was square to the basket. He just caught, turned, and fired. It made zero sense. And, of course, it was all net. And so for people to say, oh, the Kings got to guard him better, I don't know what you could do better. And when he was that hot, that crazy, it was – and you talked about, you know, having a kind of a front row seat to it. I wish we had a camera on us because, Tim, you know an example of when – someone just has like an amazing dunk and you see guys on the bench kind of play like they're holding each other back and they're all grabbing each other. Well, that's what Henry and I were doing every time Clay got it. I'm like, no, what's he? Oh my gosh. And then we were just like kids, just amazed at what we were seeing. Cause it was just one of those truly amazing nights.
Yeah. And you bring up McLemore and McCollum and the problem that they would have too, is that Clay's a big 6'7". He's a big guy. And so he is very difficult to guard at times. And that night, you know, it just was incredible. And, again, the 18 points in 3 minutes, I mean, you knew he was having a really good quarter, but you kind of figured, okay, he'll finish with 22 or something like that, and we'll move on. But and the other part about that is that the last 3 minutes, he just took the game away. The game was done at the end of the third quarter.
And I just was amazed by not only his reaction in that, and I love seeing Steph, who was out at one point late in the game, and he was like the biggest cheerleader in that moment. And his 37 outscored the Kings in every quarter, his own individual point total. So he was just that dominant and that much in his zone. And I know you've seen all of his games, all of Steph's games, and they're both so amazing. But many people have said that when Clay gets hot, that's just a different type of hot. And he doesn't have to dribble a lot. It's just catch and shoot. And that was one of those things that, I don't know what it's like to be in a zone like that, but that just must have been surreal for him.
It had to be, and it, you know, he gets that way too, where it gets off his hands so quickly. That's the other part. He's so efficient with his shooting motion that it gets off his hand, and when he was coming into the league, I remember coaches and scouts would watch him warm up in amazement, just in awe of his form. I mean, it's really textbook, you know. And I think, you know, going back to Mark Jackson, you know, people said that they kind of, you know, guffawed and scoffed, you know, laughed a little bit at the time that you know, they were the best shooting team of the backcourt of all time. But I think he's got to end up being right.
It's so funny too, because I was guilty of that. We were doing talk shows up here in Sacramento. I'm like, okay, coach, easy here on that comment. And that it did seem, I don't know that it was laughable, but it was like, okay, that's way too premature. But find a better tandem, find a better shoot. And those guys, I don't know that there is one. The fact that they complement each other so well, and again, both can get so hot. I don't even know. Do you have in recollection, Tim, games where they were both crazy hot? Like, how would a team even compete if both Steph and Clay are hot?
No, because what happens is this, is that when one of them gets hot, the other one feeds him. Clay's case, he gives him room. Clay will clear out and take his defender with him to give Steph room to dribble to create his shot. And when Clay gets hot, that's all, you know, as Steph does. And Tom Tolbert at some point in the third quarter said, well, they are running two plays now. Clay, come get the ball, and get the ball to Clay. Those are the two plays they're running right now. That's amazing. 37 points in the third quarter, 13 of 13, 9 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he even had an assist. I find that amazing that he had an assist in that quarter, but he did. And it's an NBA record, and, you know, I've been on the other side of NBA records and things like that with the Warriors for a number of years, and I've always felt that's great. I'm honored. It's better than having being able to do just a game that nobody will remember. You know, I love being at games, even if the Warriors are on the losing end, where something memorable happens.
I'm with you, because he could have had a 25 point quarter, which would have been great. Slash off a couple of threes that he made in the quarter and a couple more field goals, maybe the two free throws. And a 25-point quarter would have been great, but we're not reflecting on it years later. But when you get to record-breaking territory, stuff you've never seen, a perfect quarter, 9-8 threes in a quarter, 13 field goals in the quarter. I mean, it's just things that you'll remember forever. And I know records are made to be broken, but to get 38 in a quarter, who's going to beat that? I mean, I just don't see it happening. Kobe, when he had his 81, never had a quarter like that. So I guess it's possible. I don't know how, and I don't know who, but I'm with you. I'd rather see something historic. And if it was just a really impressive 25-point quarter and the Warriors won, it just would have gone along as another game in the history of the league. But that made it so special that he was perfect, that he lit up the Kings, and really the last 3 minutes is what did it for me.
Well, Jason, I think next year is going to be the year. I think next year will be the year where the Warriors and Kings are good in the same season. And, I'm gonna stick around, and I hope the G-Man, Gary Gerald, does the same thing, that until we get a Warriors-Kings playoff series. I'm gonna hold out for that. So I appreciate
that. Would be so much fun.
Absolutely. I think it would be great. I think it would be great for basketball in Northern California. Jason, as always, a pleasure to chat with you. My best to you and your family. And hopefully we'll see you sometime soon talking NBA or college football.
I love the sound of that. Let's hope so. Stay safe and stay safe to your family as well, Tim.
My thanks to Jason Ross. The Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for full details. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.